If you have your Bible for you this morning, you might turn over there and read along with me. We're going to be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to talk about love this morning. I titled this sermon, Love is the Key. So we'll start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll start reading with verse 1. Paul writes here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, you think about the Apostle Paul reading this, and sometimes people talk about the Apostle Paul and treat him like he didn't have love for his fellow man and for other people like some of the rest of them may have. But the Apostle Paul was a man who loved. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have my charity, it profiteth nothing. Profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity boasteth not itself, is not puffed up. You see how charity or love works within us. He says, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never fails. Yes, charity, or love. Love is key to the hearts of others. You want to win someone over, you want to be friends with somebody, you want to win them to the Lord, you have to love them. It is the key to God. It is the key that God uses on us to draw us to Him, to open the door for us to become His children. And it's the key that we use to reach God, is love. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Well, we are to love each other like Christ loved us. Have you ever thought about how Christ loves us? He gave His life for us. He laid down His life for us. Will we be willing to lay our life down for the brethren, for the church, for one another? And He says, by this the world will know that we're His disciples. By our love that we show toward each other, by our love that we exist, the world will know that we're His disciples. That's one way they can know. 1 John 4:10, he says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Sometimes we seem to forget that. You know, if we don't have any power over God that we can manipulate Him, no, He just freely loved us while we were yet sinners. And He's telling us that we are to love like that. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. He loved us first and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know? And it's not a conditional life thing, you know. The love that we have for one another is not based on whether or not He speaks to me right, or He waves at me when He smiles like He should smile, or whatever. God loved us without us doing any of those things. And He still loves us. And He goes on, He says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. He's given us of His Spirit, and because of His Spirit that lives within us, we are enabled to love like God loves. We're enabled to love our fellow man. We're able to love our enemies. we're certainly able to love one another in the church. We are to love as God loved us. You know, when you think about that, God loved us before we ever knew there was a God. God laid down His life for us while we were sinners. Not when we became righteous or when we tried to straighten up our life. A lot of people have the idea that, you know, I'm going to straighten up and then I come to church and then I get my life right with God. That's not the way it works. You know, God loves us before we ever decided to try to straighten up. Before we knew Him, He loved us, and yet He still loves us. And He desires what's best for us. We don't realize sometimes how important love is in our lives. But the having and the giving of love is as important to the human being, you and I, as water and air is to our physical bodies. Love feeds our spiritual bodies, and this is very important in our lives. As much as eating, breathing, as much as those things are. Drinking water, as having water. You know, without water we die. Without love, you die. It's been studied and seen in some places where babies that were just picked up and fed, weren't loved, rocked or cold, they got another way. They would die, and some did. Without this tender interaction between someone, you pick up a little baby, and if you notice the first thing about them, you know, they look you right in the face. They look at your eyes, especially the little small infants, and they look you right in their eye, and they're trying to find somebody to make that connection with, to have a special connection and realize, to feel this love between them. And if they don't receive that while they're infants somewhere, they grow up to have problems. They have problems in their life. You let them grow in the childhood and then in the teenagers without ever having that connection. They're called unattached children, and they grow up and have problems in life. Some of them wind up in jail. Some of them wind up being psychos who kill people for no reason. They don't have that interaction of knowing somebody and realizing how far they could go with something. You take for example, dogs. I've raised some puppies. And I've raised some that, you know, if you take a puppy out there, you can play with a rag or a thing like that. And unless that puppy bites something that it has an attachment to, it don't realize it's going to hurt you when he bites. But a puppy that's grew up with other puppies, when he bites one of them, they squeal. Or when he bites too hard, his mother nips him. They learn to be able to fight without fighting hard, about how to play without hurting. So you see, but the same way, they need that interaction. We need the interaction with other people so we just don't hurt them without any remorse. We don't steal and take from them without any remorse. People who don't have this in their childhood will kill you without any remorse. Will take from you what's yours without even feeling guilty in any way. So love is a must in our lives. It's a must in our marriages. A marriage that has a lack of love, a love for one another, will be the party. It won't last and it won't stand. Without love, there is no forgiveness, and that's the problem. You know, without love in our hearts and minds toward our spouses, then we don't forgive them, and it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and you know, it's hurt for hurt. We don't return good for evil. Well, there's no forgiveness. Think how Christ loved us and gave His life for us. Why? So that we could have forgiveness. So we can have a newness of life without the guilt of the past. Without the problems we've created. You know, a single person who lives alone, that does not have social outlets and don't have people that love them and are able to be loved by them, they have physical and mental problems. due to the lack of this, due to the lack of love among the members, among themselves. A congregation, a church that doesn't have love in it, between its members, is in trouble. It's going to be full of prejudice and selfishness and hatred. It's going to be hard for the people to get along without any love in there. It's going to have problems, and it's going to deteriorate. It's going to die. That's what happens to us. You take a neighborhood. If you live in a neighborhood where there's no love, and people hate one another, people are prejudiced toward each other and selfishness, and you say it's a hard place to live in. But if it can develop love amongst its neighbors and people who live next to each other, it can become a good place to live, a wonderful place. In Galatians 5 and 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's a powerful statement right there. By love, serve one another. That is the key to a happy, fulfilling life. When you, by love, serve others, then you don't think about me all the time. It's not all like that song, "It's all about me." It's not all about me when you, by love, serve others. And you think about others then more than what you want yourself. Every time you start talking to people who's having marriage problems, somebody's saying, me. I'm not getting what I want. And you start looking at the church that's having problems. You got the same situation. Somebody's saying, me. It's all about me. I'm not getting what I want. Well, we'll all think about what somebody else needs, what they want, instead of ourselves. So the love is a key to a happy and fulfilling life. In verse 14 in Galatians 5, he says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." You see, that destroys us. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves, and surely our friends as ourselves. And the closer we are to people, sometimes the harder it is to love them. But we must bring forth that love and not bite and devour, not backbite and talk about and cut down. So if we do that, we're destroying each other. We're destroying our marriages when we start backbiting each other, complaining all the time, or the church, and we're destroying our nation, our society, and our people. We need to be careful. We do not speak evil of the brethren or of our neighbors. Ephesians 4:29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." You see, you can grieve God by the way you talk about people and talk to people, the way you treat others. And he says, verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." You know, there's the key. Forgiveness. Forgive as we have been forgiven. You know, love enables us to do that. Love is the key to a life of liberty in Jesus Christ. Love is the key to reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Serving with love is the key to being happy in this life, to feeling like you're good in this life, and being happy with God in this life. Love is the key to a happy marriage. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. I got a couple of scriptures I want to read here, and I'm not going to read the part about the marriage, but it's leading into that, and then the other one is again coming out of marriage talking about these things, talking about love. Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 7. "Be ye therefore followers of God as their children and walk in love. You see, if we're going to follow God, we're going to be walking in love. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. You know, in Romans 12 and 1, he said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be a living sacrifice, as Christ sacrificed for us. A living sacrifice, he goes on the next verse, says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And we are to change our minds, be transformed, not be like the world. And that's what he's talking about here. You know, we are to be a living sacrifice for God. To God for a sweet smelling savor. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it be not once named among you, as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of the disobedient. Be not ye partakers, be not ye therefore partakers with them. So we see, if we look at that, love is how we overcome these things. Love is the key to overcoming sin in your life. You forgive others, and you ask God to forgive us, and we find that He loves us, and it makes us stronger to overcome the sin. Look at 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. 1 Peter also is a chapter that talks about marriage. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll start reading verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Excuse me, I'm in 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. He just concluded about the relationship between the husband and the wife, and this is what he starts into. He says, finally be ye all of one mind. You know, that was fit for the church. It was fit between a husband and wife. It was fit with us as brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are there to call, that ye should inherit the blessing. So you want to inherit the blessings of God? This is the way we need to order our lives. Not returning evil for evil, but rather giving a blessing. But he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good, and let him seek peace and ensue. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord against them that do evil. You know, if you do this kind of life, God hears your prayers. If you don't, his face is against you. Love is so very important. You know, people who love God and realize God loves them and they love other people freely, they don't have fear because love casts out fear. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And God does not want us to live in fear. If we're fearful for everything, we better examine something in our hearts. What are we afraid of? You know, fear immobilizes us. When fear takes over us, we are not willing to take action like we should. Fear destroys us and it takes away our peace and the happiness that Jesus wants us to have. You know, the fearful, they take a part in the lake of fire, according to Revelation. So, we should not live in fear. Why would we live in fear? A person that's fearful will kill you. If he's afraid of you, he'll hurt you. You know, and so we don't want to be fearful or would kill somebody else, a person who's living fearfully, he'll steal from you because he fears that he may go hungry or something. Matthew 10:28, he said, "Do not fear him that can destroy the body, but rather fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell." So the only one that we should really fear, that's God. We should not fear anything else. Only God. God is able to give you an opportunity to work and have a living and have food and a shelter. God is able to change all situations in your life. God is able to do it all. If we trust in Him, put our faith in Him, and allow it to be done His way. I want you to turn over to 1 John 4 and start reading with verse 16. 1 John chapter 4. Read 16 through 20. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We know it and we believe it. God is love. And he that dwelleth in the love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Here is our love made perfect, that we may be bold, may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment." You see, fear torments us. And when we're living in fear, we're afraid there's going to come a lightning bolt or a tornado, or we're afraid our wheels going to fall off our car or something else. We're just fearing everything, even little things we fear. God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to realize His love. His love that can take care of us. His love that will provide for us and return love as He loved us. Verse 19 in Ephesians chapter 4. "We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" So we have to love one another, the people we see. Verse 21, "In this commandment we have from Him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." So love is the key to being with God, being in God, pleasing God. Love is the key to keeping the commandments of God. It says this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and they're not grievous. You know, God's commandments is not a problem for us to keep when we love God. John 14:15, if we love Him, Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, people can say, I love you. And people do that all the time. I love you. But it don't mean anything. People say a lot of times, I love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. They sing that song. But it didn't mean anything. Because they're not keeping His commandments. If you love the Lord, you keep His commandments. Love is the key for you and I to be like God. We can't be like God without it, because God is love. In 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And finally in Jude chapter 1:20. He says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." That's what we want to do. As we live this life, as we go through this life that we have on this earth and our time allows us, we want to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we leave this world, I don't think there's a one of us that wants judgment. Judgment would bring us punishment, and we'd be guilty for every little sin that we ever committed. And the wages of that would be certainly death, eternal death. But we want the mercy of God. And so we desire that, and we recognize and realize the love of God. and we keep ourselves in the love of God. In verse 22, he says, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you see, we are to be about reaching out to others, to bring them in, that they may have salvation, that they may realize the same love that we have in God. And we do that with compassion. And sometimes we do that with fear to get their attention. You know, God loves us, and He shows His compassion, His mercy, and His grace. But He also warns us of His judgment that we fear and realize how powerful God is and the end result of not being with God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of our love, we reach out to others that they might be saved. And because of this love, we extend to them the saving power of Jesus Christ. And that's my sermon this morning. I hope you can understand the things that we've taught. I wasn't necessarily preached on the gospel, but the gospel is there open to all today. You know, if you love the Lord, then the first step is to get into the Lord. And to do that, he says that we have to believe in Him, confess Him, and repent of our past sins of not following Him, to be baptized into it, to walk then in our newness of life. And if you're here today and you've been having troubles in your newness of life, and perhaps you need to pray with a brother, when you've got opportunity to let me know. In either case, as we stand and sing the song, been selected. If you need church in any way, let me know as we stand and sing.